On the Fozcast today, we have got the Championship's all-time top scorer. He's just returned from the United States after absolutely smashing it for LA Galaxy. It's Billy Sharp. He told us what life was like out there in LA. He also let us know his side of the story of all of that Wrexham beef, the scuffles in the tunnel, all of the stuff from Rob McElhenney, and also what it's like being without a football club for the first time in a 20-year professional career at the Fozcast.
There's no better feeling than a personal win, and the State Farm Personal Price Plan can help you do just that. Talk to a State Farm agent today to learn how you can bundle and save with the Personal Price Plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
Right, Billy, it's about -2 in the UK at this moment in time, but you haven't been here recently, have you? You've been out in America, absolutely smashing it by the looks of it. Talk to me about your nice little journey out with LA Galaxy.
Yeah, the weather, obviously, is a lot different to the UK. As you say, freezing today. Only just found a few of my winter coats, so...
You got to dig them out now. It's that time of year. We've got to start digging them out, mate.
This morning. No, the adventure I had in LA was something I'll cherish for me and the family forever, because it was so much better than I thought it was going to be.
Really?
I'm a bit of a homeboy.
Yeah.
Never played in a, you know, foreign country before, and to go there, to play in the MLS, to play for the LA Galaxy was really exciting, and it didn't disappoint, and made some special memories there.
Can you rewind to like how it came about? Because I remember like watching the news, I think we texted about it, and like going,
what a move.
What a move. What yeah, a like move. That is always that is... the thing, is like, what a move.
Yeah, I think a lot of people were surprised, thought I'd go. Yeah, I had other offers, which just wasn't exciting me. And everyone knows that it was hurting me leaving Sheffield United. You know, to get over that was difficult. And for LA Galaxy to come in for me, it was a no-brainer. It made, you know, my hair stand up and made me excited to go there and try and, you know, go and do the business, score some goals, and have like an adventure with the family, which we didn't have much time to think about it. I got a text off the fitness coach at LA Galaxy, who used to be Sheffield United fitness coach, but I didn't know him. A friend of mine, James Beattie, was at the club when he was there. He contacted me and said, this guy wants your number. He's working at LA Galaxy. And as dry as Beats is, I said to him, did he want to sign me? And he went, nope.
So I was like, you dickhead.
And then an hour later, he said, look, I don't know what they want. He just asked for your number. I was like, no worries, mate. I've texted him. Thank you. And it happened, like I said, really quickly. He said to me, would you be interested? I was like, yep, 100%. Spoke to my wife. She thought I was on a wind-up. She was like, when are we going? Told the kids. They were a bit anxious and a bit nervous, but... yeah, it's the best thing that I could have done for my career at that time. Because like I say, I was disappointed and hurting about the Sheffield United, the way it ended. And I couldn't wait to get over there and see what the MLS was about.
We'll talk about how it ended with Sheffield United in a bit. What's it like out there, though? Talk to me about what it's like. I want to know everything about, I want to know about the standard. I want to know about the lifestyle.
Where you live in.
Where you live in. All that kind of stuff.
Okay, so the standard, there's some good players there.
Yeah.
In training the first day, I said Douglas Costa were there.
Yeah.
Still so fast, strong, can do things with the ball that I could never dream of doing. I think it was just about consistency for him. I think that's why he's not playing in Champions League or whatever now. But you could see the talent that he's got. And not just at our club, other clubs that we played against, there was individual talent in every team. I think that's why there's DP players. There was some bad defending as well.
What's the DP players?
Designated player, where they get paid an awful lot of money.
What are we talking? So DP players. So obviously nowadays, like, wages in football are just obscene anyway, aren't they? Players are going out to Saudi, getting paid 400-500 million a week. What is what is like a highest paid player in America? Like, what is the highest DP player?
I don't know
in America?
What the highest DP is, but Chica Chicharito, who I went because he was injured and out for the season, he was over 7 mil.
A year?
Yeah, so...
Wow.
He was a DP for...
The thing is, as well, they release, like, out there, they release what players are earning, don't they? So they have to... I think they have to do it by law, is release how much each player is earning per season.
Yeah, so everyone could see what I was earning, which weren't great, but the experience and the opportunity was something that I wanted. And the reward at the end of it, which I haven't ended up getting... I got a bonus for scoring goals and what have you, but there was a 12-month club option where, you know, I thought I was going to get, and I thought I deserved to get. Well, the manager told me in his office with an hour meeting that we had that he wanted me there and that I would be getting. But the longer it went on and I was due to fly back, my agent got a call and said, look, they're not going to be taking up the option. Maybe because the wages went up a lot, which... I'm sure the manager's got to have known while he was saying to me he wanted me there. But it's that side of it's weird because I'm sort of owned by the league.
Yeah.
So clubs will get told what my club option would be, and then they have an opportunity to sign me. So maybe another MLS club might sign me.
Would that be a possibility? Would you be open to that as well?
Yeah, it's opened my eyes that move to the experiences that you can have in football. Yeah. And for the family as well, which I went over there and I wanted to do well. And on the plane, my eldest said to me, Dad, get a hat trick for me because the ball is different to the Premier League, to the Championship. And I said, I'll get you one of them, son, I promise. And stuff like that which made me smile because I managed to get the hat trick, which put myself under a little bit of pressure because I only started 9 games, but I scored 6 goals and I think there was only... one league goal off the top scorer at the club. So I felt I made an impact with the fans, with my teammates, and off the field as well. I tried to be an influence to younger players, which a few of them have contacted me and said, you know, it was great to experience the pitch with you. You helped me with this and helped me with that, which, you know, as well as the goals, stuff like that makes me, you know, happy that I went there and made an impact.
That's got to be frustrating then, isn't it? If you've kind of been, not sold a dream, but you've been told, listen, if you go and do this and you hit your targets, X, Y, and Z, then you're going to be here for a while. We want you.
Especially when you're scoring six in 9 starts.
Yeah, exactly.
It's mine and my agent's fault. I should have had it in. If you score 5 goals, instead of getting this bonus for really, 5 goals, I should have got, you guarantee yourself 12 months after that. And I'd have found out really then if they really did want me. Because I feel now it's like I went and did a job for them, knowing that they weren't going to take me and they can bring someone, obviously younger as it is now.
How old are you now?
37
you're
years
like a
young.
Million. Mate, yeah, you've got 3 years left in you. Look at you.
I hope so. I'm pulling my hair out now because I'm not at a club and not playing, and it's what I love doing. And I know that's why you came out of retirement, because you was missing it and whatever, and obviously you're not playing now, but I'm sure some days you do miss it.
Yeah, no, I don't really. Not when I wake up and it's -2 outside. I promise you, I don't.
It's interesting though, because when you were saying about the salaries being released, you had interest, didn't you? And you had a conversation with Carlos Bocanegra at Atlanta.
Yeah.
And that didn't quite happen. It wasn't that close.
That'd have been good for your camera in the net. That would
have been amazing.
That would have been incredible. Yeah. But when at the time of doing it, me and Rich Lee were speaking about it, and that information that we talked about, the salaries was there for us to see.
Mate, some of the wages, some of those Atlanta players were earning was phenomenal. Yeah. Honestly,
and some of the
phenomenal.
GKs in the league as well. And ultimately...
There's a DP goalkeeper. He used to be at Borussia Dortmund. I forgot what team he plays for. Decent keeper. But then you look at the money he's on, you're like... Pfft.
Wow, you're not getting that anywhere else, mate.
Nope. And I can see why people go from teams in Europe to America because, well, Ricky, who played for us, he went from Barcelona as like a young, really up-and-coming talent. And you're like, why is he moving from Barcelona? I know why he's moving from Barcelona.
To LA Galaxy?
To LA Galaxy, because the lifestyle is unbelievable.
Is it? Talk to me about that lifestyle then.
Yeah, so I didn't watch all these programs on TV. It's the crap that my missus watches. And
Orange County and all that.
I see that
stuff,
and I'm like, that's not for me. Not for me. And then I find out I'm moving to LA and I'm like, what do I pack? What do they wear
out there?
Where did you live then?
So, yeah, we lived in a hotel for the first 3 weeks, which was tough. Wasn't the greatest hotel. Was small kids doing my head in. But I had the release of going to football, and it was a school holidays at the time. So once we got out there and into a house, we lived literally right in between Manhattan Beach and Himosa Beach, which we was one block, one road.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Literally 20 seconds walk to get on the beach, which, yeah, if you're having a bad morning, you just walk 20 seconds and everyone's so friendly. Everyone's smiling, either jogging, sprinting on a skateboard with a dog pulling them, cycling. You'd love it.
It's mad, isn't it?
Rollerblading. Like everyone's just enjoying the weather. You can go there at 8 a.m. and there's, I don't know, 20 odd people playing a volleyball game. And it's like,
it's a different world, isn't it?
Do you remember we went down to like Venice Beach last year and you walked down to Santa Monica, like across there, and there's exactly that on the beach. There was like 50 people doing a spin class, like on the beach, and then next to it, it's the volleyball. And like you said, you do see some random things.
But honestly, like Venice Beach and Santa Monica Beach is nothing compared to Manhattan Beach.
Really? We stayed Manhattan Beach when we was with Wrexham in the summer, and Manhattan Beach is completely
different.
It's
too hustle, too much going on. Venice Beach, obviously, there's so much happening.
It's carnage. It's carnage.
It's carnage.
Yeah. You don't want to go down there, really, do you?
You do for the day, but you don't want to be on the beach having a beach day, or you don't want to be, I wouldn't want to live around there. Santa Monica is posh Blackpool. but yeah, great places to go. Kids loved it. But yeah, just Manhattan Beach, Himosa Beach, Redondo Beach is people. We've met people who had moved from New York or getting out of the hustle, and they come here and they're like, wish I'd have moved here 10 years, 20 years ago. And everyone who lives there just absolutely love it. And I don't blame them.
We found this nice little craft beer like pub we did. It was beautiful.
There's a few of them,
just up the road from it. It was class, it was.
It's like a bubble. It's like not real world, if you know what I mean. I used to go training, palm trees around the training ground, sun shining. Didn't have to think about any other than a t-shirt, shorts, no jumpers, snoods or anything.
It's the dream.
I think, you know, after training, then the lifestyle was unbelievable as well, which the kids... was homeschooled by my wife, which she found tough with the little one. But the oldest one, he was brilliant. Got all his work sent through on the computer, 7:30. He was done for 10:30, and kind of go beach. And yes, the memories that we've made off the field as well as on was a lot better than I thought it was going to be. A lot better.
All right, we're going to talk about the Sheffield United exit in a minute.
Before we do that, Ben, we've got to talk about...
I want to talk about the shirts up here quickly.
Right, okay.
I want to talk about the shirts up here because we've got some... Obviously, Billy Sharp, the highest championship goal scorer of all time next to us, knows how to put the ball in the back of the net. And I've got some match-worn shirts above me here, Billy. If you're just listening at home and you're not watching us, then I'll tell you what shirts I've got, actually. We've got a Marcus Rashford, we've got Harry Kane, a Sergio Aguero and a Jamie Vardy match-worn shirt all above me. I just want to get a few little bits and bobs out of each of them, if you can. So talk to me about Jamie Vardy as a striker.
Yeah, a lot of respect for him. Came into the game relatively late as a footballer. But for what he's done and achieved is phenomenal. Another lad from Sheffield just scoring goals, and his sheer pace is, you know, I think that's what he relied on quite a lot at the start, but then his movement was great. His finishing got better. And obviously, he's got his own records in the Premier League, which 11 consecutive games, I think it was.
Ridiculous, isn't it?
However many, I think he's got over 100. Well, I'm sure he's got over 100 now. And he's been a great player for Leicester.
Clever little rat is what he was. Sergio Aguero.
Yeah, real favourite. Again, his movement is... I think he was quick, but the way he finished the ball and got himself into places where, or weaved his way through, because probably smaller than me, but he was strong, aggressive, and it's a shame the way his career ended for him, but unbelievable player as well.
You know what he was good at is not having much of a backlift. He didn't need much backlift, did he?
Well, he had short, stocky legs like me, and all the power came, just like he says. Some of his finishes was a joke, and unbelievable player.
Harry Kane?
Again, I never thought he was going to leave Spurs, but fair play to him. He's gone to Germany and he couldn't be doing anything else, really. And again, I remember him when I played against Leicester and he was sat on the bench, couldn't get a game. And the way he's adapted his game, he can come short, get in behind with his movement, his ability to head the ball, his finishing's phenomenal. And he's obviously a leader as well, being captain of England and... Yeah, going to a different country in a different league, and he's breaking all the records, which you can see he's still hungry.
Is he one of the best all-round strikers there's been, do you reckon?
Yeah.
Because like I said, he's got everything, hasn't he?
He has got everything, yeah. And he's grown on me even more over the years, and respect him more and more every time I see him. Unbelievable.
Is it understanding, because when you ask that question, Ben, about is he one of the best... Why do we even ask that question? Because look at the goals and everything he's done. Is it because when you look at him, he's not got blistering pace, or he's not the most sexy footballer in the world, but is it his understanding of the game and doing all of the basic stuff at a world-class level?
I think that's how I describe
level?
Myself. Like, people say, how is he leading goal scoring in the championship ever? He's fat, he's small, he's slow. But
what is it then? How do you do it?
Know where the goal is.
He knows where the goal is. He knows how to... manipulate defenders. He knows how to beat goalkeepers. His mental strength must be unbelievable. Like I say, he's got a lot of responsibility. Captain, takes penalties in pressure situations. I know we see the one that he missed. But to go to a foreign country and, you know, go out of his comfort zone, if you like. Getting paid a lot of money at Spurs that he's captain of and supports, but to do what he's doing still. And he probably wanted that Shearer record.
I think he'll come back and get it.
He'll come back,
I think he'll come back. I'm going to give him another 3 years out there, and then 2.5 years, and then he's coming back.
He needs 2.5 really good years in the Prem, though.
Yeah.
Because he's about 60, 70 behind, is he?
People always ask me that. Who's the best striker in the Premier League ever? I still say Alan Shearer because he's got the record. But obviously, a lot of people are going to argue with me because he's not as sexy as Aguero, Henry. Yeah. I don't know, Van Nistelrooy. There's a lot of strikers who are up there, but he's got the record. So for me,
did you see Harry Kane recently in an interview? I saw him. I think it was yesterday, talking German. I was like,
no way! Come on,
he's
unbelievably impressive.
Really, I seen him. Oh, it must have been 3 weeks ago, and he wasn't that confident, and he was only saying a few words.
I don't know what it was. I don't know whether it was a voiced over, dubbed over. I don't know, but it was just a clip on TikTok I saw, and I was like, wow.
AI, mate, they'd have AI.
Maybe.
I know that he's taken on the culture over there, and apparently he's living in a hotel, I think.
Is he?
That's costing a fortune a night, but I'm sure.
touching the sides, that, mate.
All right, did you see him in the Lederhosen with Thomas Müller?
Yeah, it's good.
Love it. Big
good.
Stein a bit. Yeah.
And then finally, this is going to be an interesting one, actually. Marcus Rashford, because I want to know what it's like as a striker when you're low on confidence. Because I think at this moment in time, Marcus Rashford, it's obvious for everyone to see, is just very low on confidence. He's not doing what comes naturally to him. How would you overcome that, and where does that come from?
Well, I think he was in this situation 2 years ago and he came through it. And I think some Man U fans wanted him out and he went on this run. I've said it many times before. Probably the same with you. When you keep a clean sheet and then two and then three, you think you're going to make four, five, six, and you think you're unstoppable. When you're scoring goals and things are hitting you or they're bouncing to you and not the defender, when you're scoring goals, you've got this self-belief and this mindset that you're just going to score. And when you're not, it gets harder. And for me, he's not as natural as Harry Kane, as Aguero, because, you know, he likes to drift wide. He probably models himself on Henry or something like that. But yeah, he's got blistering pace, can take free kicks, penalties, the way he hits the balls. I can't do that. He's a great player and you just never know what's going on off the field.
Behind the scenes, that's the big thing, isn't it? Yeah.
Is he carrying an eagle? But there's no doubt about it. He's a brilliant player. And like you say, he's probably low on confidence. And some footballers rely on, I don't know, confidence. And when it is a little bit tough, he's not playing in the team who's, you know...
Popping.
Yeah.
They're not popping at the minute, are they? It's not helping things.
No.
It's amazing. I think with Marcus, it's like... The streaks, it's so streaky, isn't it? Like it is, where it'll be a many games without, and then it'll just go on an absolute purple patch.
Yeah.
Which I think that's the thing that probably fans struggle with, where they're going to kind of go, how come he's
just consistency? Just want a level of consistency.
Then, yeah. Who did you kind of base your game on growing up, and who was your hero striker wise?
Sheffield United hero was Brian Deane. Even though I'm playing nothing like him, he could head the ball. He was fast, long stride. Like to go drift wide. He was just a hero of me growing up as a Sheffield United fan. He was the one who scored the goals, and I used to be in the garden, Dino, thinking I was Brian Deane. And same with Alan Shearer. Sheffield United is my team, but because of Alan Shearer, I had a soft spot for Newcastle. I used to get a couple of their shirts, and it was always Shearer 9 on the back. And yeah, headers, volleys, penalties, the way you just shove people
angry
off.
Little work rate. And little devil.
He was a goal machine, and they're not like him anymore. Well, as you can see, Harry Kane's probably as close to him as any of them four, but Harry Kane probably drops a lot deeper than Shearer and scores different types of goals. Shearer, you know, he was power and smashing the ball with his head, with his foot. But yeah, they were the two. More recently was Fernando Torres, Aguero, Rooney. Some of Rooney's goals. And
Rooney. Bold Rooney.
Skinhead Rooney.
Bold Rooney.
Bold
Skinhead Rooney.
Rooney.
Oh. Skinhead Rooney.
The goal where he's arguing with the ref, shoved him out of the way. Just volley.
Newcastle.
Like unreal.
I spoke about this with somebody the other day. It's not even that. It was the one where, do you remember Hull? Yeah. And it's the drop ball.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know that he's going to get a red card. Yeah. You, Alex Ferguson must be standing there going, what are you doing? Yeah. Please don't. Don't let him do this. Okay, here we go. Brilliant. 10 men.
He's gone through him straight through.
That was him. He was a little animal.
Yeah. I think he had to be like that. So the way he played, that was him. Played right on the edge. And obviously did some things which... You think, what is he doing? But it's just the way he
plays. Isn't that just part and parcel of... Isn't that just players like Sergio Ramos? I was watching them stats about him. Red card.
27th red card.
But is that just... Do you, with players like that, and you've played with them both, I'm sure, do you just accept that's who they are?
You kind of do. You kind of have to.
He's, again, what a player. But I think it averages two red cards a season.
So 27 red cards. That's got to be a world record.
The latest one was the funniest. He's saying to the referee, go on, go and have a look. Yeah,
go and watch it back. Go and watch it back.
He got his yellow to a red, straight red.
He's caught him on the knee.
Yeah.
He's literally got all studs.
So he's campaigned to look, yeah, and he's been upgraded.
On, he's literally got all six so studs on this player's knee.
Yellow to a straight red.
What a boy.
Right, you mentioned Sheffield United there. 377 appearances for Sheffield United, 129 goals. Not bad, that, by the way. You mentioned about the exit and how sort of disappointing it was. Sheffield United is obviously your club, and that meant a lot to you, didn't it?
Yeah, and I've talked about it before, and I'm not bitter. I'm just disappointed. Yeah. And listen, I know there was going to be a time where I wasn't going to be at Sheffield United anymore, but the season was coming to a close, and I've been told by the manager, he told the press, he wanted, not just me, there's a few other old heads, for times when it would be hard, for when there's injuries, like they've had, and I'd there'd be a time in the season where I'd be used and whatever, and yeah, I might not have played as much, but I'd have worked hard to try. So I thought I was going to be there. And then after the season finished, when if I knew I wasn't going to be there, at least I could have savoured it. And, you know, I've been at the club three spells as a kid. I've been, you know, I've had three promotions, two to the Premier League and one from League One to the Championship, which, you know, if you know it's going to be the end, you can... I just didn't have that end, that closure.
Yeah.
And
a proper send-off.
Yeah, and... It hurt me.
Yeah.
And if I'd have known, and you know, you can deal with it better. But the way it was, you know, the way it ended was, yeah, it didn't sit well with me. And you know, I'm a Sheffield United fan from Sheffield, and I'd do anything for that club, and didn't want no pay rise, didn't want anything. Just thought, you know what, I'm going to be a part of this jigsaw, this puzzle next season, and if I play 1 minute or however many minutes, I'll give it my all, and if I'm not playing, I'll be helping others, and I'll be leading that dressing room like I had done for 8 years before that. And yeah, that's why I said LA was the best thing for me. Get out of the country.
Complete reset, refresh.
Yeah, reset. And the kids were hurt as well. You know, they go to every single game, and they have the Sheffield United shirt on because their dad plays, but also they support Sheffield United. And we woke up at mad hours in LA to watch, and you know, it was frustrating because they was getting some, you know, late defeats and stuff like that. Yeah. And they've picked up of late when we got back, and things sort of turned a little bit with Everton getting the points deduction. But obviously, disappointing result of the weekend, which they're the games that they need to pick up the points to survive the season.
I think this is the thing with fans sometimes talk about players and loyalty, and I think people probably outside the game then realise that sometimes it doesn't always work that way. Like you said, just having almost a proper send-off, and even when you finished at Watford, Ben, it was like, I remember speaking to you and going like, that's it then. Like, and they kind of chat on your last game of the season, didn't travel or anything like that. And not everyone gets that Mark Noble moment on the pitch where
they
get to say goodbye, isn't it? And that's... I always think when people talk about you know, loyalty in football, it very much works both ways, doesn't it?
Hell yes,
but it's an industry, it's a business. That's just
it is now. Yeah, I think football's changed a lot.
You'd
probably agree with me. I'm still in football, so can't go into too much detail. But it can end horrifically sometimes, and Not just me. So I'm not bitter about it at all. I know that there's fans who still want me there, and I know there's fans that didn't. You never, I'm sure, Harry Kane at Tottenham, there was probably a percentage who didn't think he was good enough or whatever. It's just, that's just what football fans are. And I still support Sheffield United. I want them to stay up this season. I want them to do well. Look out for the results all the time. And who knows, maybe one day I will be back in some sort of capacity.
Have you been to watch a game this season? Are you going to go watch over Christmas or anything, if you haven't already got something sorted?
I was waiting for the invite off them, but I'm actually doing the Liverpool game for TV. So, I'll be good to go and watch and take in the atmosphere. I do miss that, you know, the Greasy Chip Boy song.
Oh, yes.
And my
bit of Bovril.
Definitely will be having a Bovril, yeah. I'm glad you said that. The southern lads look at me as if to say, what the hell is that you're drinking?
Proper, mate. Nah, it's proper.
Bothered, haven't
especially
you?
With this weather as well. So yeah. That'll be one of the first things I go to the kit man for.
One of the highlights of your, what are the highlights of your career? I've got here, obviously, the FA Cup semi-final. This was last year, by the way.
Yeah, I know.
This was last year. Yeah. I can't even remember. I can't even remember Sheffield United in an FA Cup semi-final.
Well, I'm sure we're going to go and talk about it. We beat Wrexham on the way to it.
We weren't going to bring it. We weren't going to bring that up, Billy.
Surely we weren't going to bring that up.
No. Yeah, that's why it's tough at the minute. FA Cup semi-final last season. And yeah. I'm sat here now itching, hungry to get my next club to play. And yeah, I can still score goals. Like I say, I'm hungry. I'm open to any challenge, any opportunity. And yeah, hopefully that comes sooner rather than later.
Let's talk about that FA Cup run then.
Seeing as Billy brought it up,
I didn't want to even come on.
It's not even
this.
On my running order.
No chance, mate. Right, I saw a podcast that you did last week, and you mentioned about sort of just at the end of the game, I was just celebrating in front of the fans, and apparently the top row were Sheffield United fans. Yeah. And I've looked back at this and I'm thinking, nah, I'm pretty sure they're all Wrexham fans, you know.
So where the away end is,
yep.
My family, well, everyone's family sits right in the corner.
So when
Millwall come, when anyone come, my kids are hearing all the chants, which now they know, all the hand signals. I go over there, win, lose or draw every single game, give them a wave, blow them a kiss, blah, blah, blah. That day, I obviously scored a goal. I was getting lots of coins. And people know what I'm like with fans. I take a lot. I give a lot. It's part of the game. Without the fans, football is nothing.
Yeah, true that.
And we saw that with COVID. It was dead and it was tough.
Yeah.
The Wrexham fans were in full, you know, noise that day, and they were brilliant. They came to Bramall Lane. They were loud, got right behind their team. It was a proper FA Cup tie over the two legs. And I'm the Sheffield United captain. The FA Cup means a lot to me personally. I'm a winner and I wanted to win because I could see how much Wrexham players, fans, everything, they wanted to win. I didn't want that happening on our patch.
Yeah.
When I was responsibility for my team on that pitch that day, and a few things happened. First leg, one of our lads got sent off, got provoked. He needs to, obviously, he learned from that, which he will do. So we scored in the last minute to take the tie when they thought they'd won it, and there was other things in the press, blah, 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 the documentary. Everyone wanted Wrexham to go on this run. I wanted to get to the semi-final of the FA Cup, like we eventually did, to play at Wembley, which I'd not done before. So big for me personally and as a club. I went over to my mom, my dad, my wife, my kids, my friends, wave as I normally do, blow my kids a kiss, getting coins, I'm having a bit of banter. I do a little crying gesture to the Wrexham fans, which I could have done a lot worse. Parky comes running over.
What's Parky saying?
What you whining? Well, I can't remember what he said, but he's giving it loads because I'm having a bit of banter. He's angry. His team's just got knocked out. I'm happy we've just gone through. Spoilt the underdog scenario, whatever. Yeah. But I've had a bit of beef with Parky before. I know him because I know Pete. I know.
What beef have you had with Parky before?
I once going to take a throw-in at Valley Parade, and as I went to get the ball, he's booted me on the hand.
No, he hasn't.
So I've given him a push.
Phil's the nicest man in the world.
I gave him a push, and we've had a little bit of a scuffle, and the ref come over. I think he's booked him. And yeah, I've got no grudge, nothing against him, just...
He booted my hand though.
Yeah. But then there was no need for him to get involved after the game. He thought he was just trying to look out for his fans. And then I think Paul Mullin came across and we had a bit of, that was fine, bit of banter with him. Tozer was giving it all game.
Big Toes. Yeah. He's got a mouth on him, Big Toes.
Real
isn't he?
Mouth Who's on him. Not just to me, like he was abusing the rest of my players. Like Ollie Norwood came on, he's going, he'll give us something. And He did. Gave him a penalty, which I think was outside the box. He just had a lot of spice to it.
I love this. I love Toast a bit, honestly.
I'm sure I don't know him.
He's the nicest runner. But I can't wait. I want him to text me about this, actually. Because if Toast, you're giving it the big and you cannot back this up, all right?
No,
you
haven't got Paul Mullen. We had Paul Mullen on a few weeks ago, yeah.
I'm sure he's a nice guy. Like, I'm different on the pitch to off the pitch.
You'd batter Toast, wouldn't you? You'd be able to batter Toast. Easy.
Oh, he's a big lad. Yeah, you know, he I'll give him a go. He was giving, and I liked it. You know, he was trying to get under our skin. Exactly what you have to try and do. Do
it
anything
just lifts
to win.
It all, doesn't it? It lifts everybody
spices.
A little bit.
It's an FA Cup, and I've got nothing against any of the Wrexham players. They're doing well this season. I said this after in the interview. A few people didn't agree with a few things I said, but we went down the tunnel then. Bramall Lane, you turn left to the home, you go straight on a little bit and left to the away. I got man of the match, whether I deserved it or not, I don't know, but I had to go straight on and right into this. There was loads of cameras for the documentary.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to go straight on and then up the stairs. It gets tighter. The Wrexham players think, what's he doing? He should be going left. Well, I get that. So this camera guy shoots out, probably didn't think I was coming because he thought I was going left as well. So I sort of like nearly fall over him and push him out of the way. And Wrexham lads were like, it kicked off a little bit.
Scuffle?
No, it would have done, yeah. But there was too many people there. Yeah. Nobody knew what was going on. Robbo's come in. He likes a bit of a...
Like, who came in?
Robinson, yeah.
Okay.
A few other people. They all shouting. It was handbags. Nothing really happened. I think it was Toes what said something again.
Toes!
And I was
keep
like,
shut, Toes, all right?
I said, and you know what? Probably made good TV. And they put it in the documentary, so they obviously
buzzed off it a little bit. Yeah.
I said, I think that'll be documentaries. Also, I think I said something like that. I had a laugh as I said it. And they, a few more was having a go. And anyway, I darted in my little place where I had this interview. And I probably should have not done it. I should have cooled down.
Yeah.
Emotions were high. Things have just been said and happened. And I went in and I wasn't suggesting the referee was cheating at all. I got fined for that, blah, blah, blah. I just thought he had a bad game.
How much do you get fined for stuff like that, by the way? Is it a percentage of a week's wage or something? Is that how it works?
I was angry about it because it cost me a fair bit. I probably should have said the referee was shit, but I'd have got fined for that anyway.
Yeah.
But I was trying to work my way around. How can I say he was not very good? And they seen it as though I said he was cheating, which, no, the two ties were good cup ties. Good atmosphere down at theirs and brilliant for us. And luckily, we got one over them on the day and he just got blown.
It got massively blown.
And what was
blown
it
up.
About the comment? I think it was saying they thought they were through, but they kind of saw past us.
Yeah, because obviously we scored late on at their place. They probably deserved to beat us that day. Palmer hit the bar.
It was a good game, mate. It was a great game of football.
I was sat on the bench thinking, come on, get me on. This is a cup tie. And then obviously I got on and Jebo got sent off and I'm thinking, that's us done. And I didn't want to get it done.
Mm.
And we scored. So I think there was a bit of a thing after the first leg in the dressing room because it's tight and both teams wanted to win and it was like, yeah, whatever, we'll see you next time at our gaff. And cup tie was brilliant. Like I say, without the fans, without, you know.
That's what it's about.
That's what English football, like British football, that's what it is
mate,
about.
As long as
it's not getting kind of out of hand and we don't want any, you know, obviously there's the dress, you know, down the tunnel and stuff like that, which you kind of go, but like the kind of, with the fans and that,
yeah, listen,
it works both ways.
Exactly. Fans, 90% of the time when I'm playing away from home, I get, you fat bastard, you fat. Fine, I'm not fat. I can take that on the chin and I give it all that. Yeah, come on, give it me. It's I'm doing something right if they're trying to get at me. I'll take the heat off my teammates, that's fine. But if I go and score a goal, don't expect me just to not give anything.
Yeah, just roll back and get the game.
So many times I've gave it this, which I saw Trent Alexander-Arnold do this.
Oh, yes he did, didn't he?
Right in the City fans. Yeah. Right? I'm thinking fair play to him because I know what they're all doing to him.
Yeah, of course.
He's not gone off the pitch. He's just showing what it means to him to score a goal for his team.
Yeah.
And yeah, I don't know. It's
it all adds to it, doesn't it? Like Aaron Ramsdale loves to get involved in
it. James Maddison, the fans, that
was brilliant with James Maddison.
I think fans need to realise that even these like scuffles, like in the tunnels and the beef and all that, and you've got to imagine the emotion at that moment in time, right? It is off the charts, honestly. You've just ran around for 100 minutes and you're kicking and you're doing whatever you can to win. Stuff like this happens all the time.
Yeah.
Genuinely, it happens all the time. It just happened to be at that moment in time, you've got all the Disney cameras, you've got the Sky cameras, and it is heated and it looks like it's something special. But I promise you, this sort of thing happens all the time.
Do you know the funny thing is that when people go, if I did that in my workplace, and you go, listen, your workplace, you know, with Sharon and accountants, and it's got nothing to do with... You know, it's elite level sport, right? And the emotions can get highly charged.
It is what it is. You move on very, very quickly. Here's a question for you then. If nothing happens with football in the next few weeks and into the new year, Wrexham come knocking and say, Billy, we need a striker. We need somebody to put the ball in the back of the net.
How Paul Mullen?
What are you saying?
Bring it on.
Bring it on.
I've already said that, yeah. It's a great football club.
Yeah. It is a great football club, mate. It really, really
good
is.
Good fan base. And they're doing well.
Yeah.
So I want to play football. I'm hungry to play football, to score goals. I can score goals in the Championship still. I know I can.
Mm.
I'd look in the mirror and I'd be honest with myself if I didn't think I could, but I can. But the fit's got to be right, not just for me now. I've got two kids, I've got a wife. That's not saying it needs to be on my doorstep because I've just gone to LA.
Yeah.
But I've had offers already, considering, but I want to have my options on the table so I can make the right decision so then I can give a good count of myself and try and do well for that, whichever that
is. That how it works then on a day-to-day basis at the minute then? Because obviously being without a football club, it must be hard. It's a weird situation to be in, isn't it? Because if you think you've played football for 20 years professionally and now all of a sudden it's like, well, what am I going to do? What do I do? And you're waiting, aren't you? You're waiting for a call, a text, a message, an agent, or something somewhere to say, this has come. What you reckon?
Yeah, this is why I'm here today.
Yeah, This is why we buzz, because we get this opportunity that never normally happens.
I'm still doing leg weights. I'm still running.
Yeah.
But you cannot replicate on that pitch with your teammates, the checking, the turning, the things that football give your body. You can't replicate it. So I want to get back into that. And I want to, I'm staying fit, so I'm ready for that opportunity. And like I say, it's not as though I went to LA and didn't do well. I went there, scored goals, and it was just unfortunate that we conceded the most goals as a team in the league. That was the deep down issue, that we didn't make the playoffs because we conceded far too many goals. And so I want to go somewhere and still score goals. I've got other targets that I can hit, which I want to do personally, but I want to be helped to, I'm a striker, but I'm a team player, so I want to go and help.
Sorry, Tom, I've got an interesting question here. So, top goal scorer in Championship history, when you make that step, which you've done a few times into the Premier League, just how much harder is it to score at that level in the Premier League than being in the Championship? Don't get me wrong, I know that you've always been at one of the better teams in the Championship. You're going to get a lot more opportunities. Yeah. But how much harder is it when you're facing these Premier League defenders to get a sniff of something?
Yeah, listen, I'm a Championship striker. I'm not saying I'm a Premier League striker. I've had spells there with Southampton, little spell, Sheffield United twice. And I think I can score goals there. I can, maybe go 5, 6, 7 games where you're not getting a chance because I'm not playing for one of the top teams in the Premier League. So you've got to be right on the ball and you've got to take them opportunities. The goalkeepers are better.
Really? Is that noticeable straight away?
Yeah, of course. Like, they're better with their feet, so there's less mistakes. They're better with their handling, less mistake, not as many balls getting dropped. I think you're probably going to agree with me. When you're on top of your game, that is why you played in the Premier League.
Yeah.
Your positioning, your distribution, your handling, and that's one thing. Defenders, Van Dijk is, if you want a defender, that's what you make in a factory. He's quick, he's strong, good on the ball, good in the air. I had a couple of times where I did get past him and I'm thinking, I've scored, and just about I'm hitting trigger, he's just gone bang. It's either his forearm or his long leg where I'm like, I think in seeing
go gadget leg.
Where does that come from?
Vincent Kompany is like a brick wall. Like you hit him, he was like, oof, like horrible how strong and aggressive he was. And I grew up at Sheffield United. Chris Morgan was the centre half when I used to go up at training. He used to scrape down the back of my heels and elbow me, nip me, scratch me. And I'm thinking, why does he not like me? It wasn't. It was just the way he played. And it was whether he was marking Alan Shearer or me as a kid. That's what he did. And that stood me in good stead, stuff like that. And again, midfielders providing me, probably not as good as midfielders if I was at City. And it's harder because you don't get as many opportunities. When you do get them opportunities, you don't get as much time. I scored some goals in the Premier League, which I'm proud of, and I'd love to have scored more. But I know my limits, and I know that I've been a good Championship striker, and that's where I think I'll be remembered for.
I've got a couple of questions before, so just touching back on Wrexham. Have you seen a clip where Rob McElhenney says, "We were living rent-free in that motherfucker's brain"?
Yeah, when someone told me, I was like, why is he even bothered?
Just leave it alone.
But I don't know. Maybe it's good TV. I don't know. I've actually not watched it. I'm going to watch it. When someone told me that, I was like, you are joking, right? And they was like, no, that's what you said. He's probably never heard of me.
He definitely has heard of you, mate. I promise you.
He definitely has
heard of you.
It's funny. When I landed in LA, we came out of the airport. First thing I see, big billboard.
Welcome to Wrexham.
Welcome to Wrexham. I'm like, what? I'm in LA. Big welcome to Wrexham.
It's a big deal out there, isn't it?
Yeah.
They watch it. They're mad for it, in fact.
So my eldest was playing for a team, and I got talking to a few of the parents, and they knew of me before I came to LA Galaxy because of that.
The documentary.
And it's weird how it's worked out.
I just think the owners they're great, right? I think they've been surprised. I think they've said it, that how football is in the UK, like watching it.
Tribal.
It's so different to American sports in so many respects, but I think they've just been swallowed up in a good way by just what it's like,
territorial. They're having it good at the minute. They got a promotion. They have had a cup run. The documentary's doing well. Obviously, they don't need the money. They're doing it for a bit of fun, I think. Well, you probably tell me.
No, they love it.
Yeah, but honestly, now they're getting, they're seeing the passion, the fans, the players, what it's doing for the community, for Wrexham.
For Wrexham, yeah.
If they go again, which they're in the running to do it again, why would they walk away? If it started not to go so well, would they fancy going somewhere else?
I promise you.
Brady now with Birmingham.
They're not going anywhere.
Wrexham, I swear my life, Wrexham will be, but they'll be Championship within 3 or 4 years.
Do you think that soon?
I think to get from Championship to the Premier League, it's a different ball game completely.
But from League Two, I think we'll go up straight up.
Yep.
This season
into League One,
and then
it might take another year or so,
a year or two.
But they'll be in the Championship within 3 or 4 years, for sure.
When that new stand's done as well,
yeah. For sure they will.
Because that atmosphere
It's getting from the Champo to the Prem. You know it. You've done it. You've spent your career to get to that level. Even if you're at one of the better teams, better equipped team, it's not that easy. It's the toughest league in the world.
Yeah.
It has to be.
Championship, 8-10 years and you're nearly in the playoffs.
Nearly.
And you try and change things and then it might go backwards and then you think you've gone even further backwards. Yeah. But then, I don't know. They've got the momentum. They've got the belief. They've got the fan base and they've got the backing at the minute, which, if they can go again straight away, they're in a great place.
Let me ask you a question, because I've got it from a fan point of view, in that teams like Watford, Sheffield United, right, the West Broms, Norwiches, from a fan point of view, the holy grail is getting to the Premier League, right? And you go in the Championship, you have a really good year, you go home and away, amazing away days, you win more often than you lose. When you go up, it's almost like a false economy where you go, this isn't that much fun, actually. Champo's amazing, from a pure fan engagement, how it makes you feel. Is there an element of that as a player?
I am hearing that from fans, from my mates. It's great, we're going to London this weekend. And then there was three London games on the spin. And it came to the third one. And they go in there thinking, we're going to get beat again.
Yeah, pummeled.
It's expensive again. It's this, it's that.
Give me crew away.
But yeah, the championship, you're winning most weeks. And you're on high. And when you do lose a game, it's like, so what? You forget that. We're going to win next
week. Absolutely.
In the Premier League, it's lose, 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 draw, lose, lose, win, lose, lose. You can get draining. And as a player, I think the time we got relegated, which we got relegated well early, it was demoralising. I was injured towards the end of it, but the belief just got sucked out.
Horrible, isn't it? Yeah.
And you're going into games and you're 1-0 down already mentally, and it's tough. And the more you have who believe that you're going to get something that day, you know, they say you've got to have 7 players better than them to win a game. Yeah. But when you're going out there and people have doubt in the mind, it's not a good place to be. And Sheffield United are in that at the minute because they had this little fixture where they've playing teams like Bournemouth and they've got Burnley next. They need to win them games because obviously Luton are winning, and if they go and get beat by Burnley, then they're in big trouble. So big, big game at the weekend, and hopefully they can get the 3 points.
They're the ones you look at. You look at the fixture list as a team like Sheffield United and you pick your Burnley, your Bournemouth, and you say they're the ones we have to win.
Do you do that as a player at the start of the season? Do you look at the fixture list and go, almost like tally it up? Because that's what you do as fans. You go and go, maybe 3 points there.
It doesn't work like that.
You look at little periods, don't you? You might look at it and go, mate, have you seen November? Mate, look at November. We've got City away, then we've got United, then we've got Arsenal, then we've got, and it's like, oh my God.
Need some points on the board.
Hopefully we've got some points on the board before them.
It's like Fulham. I watched the Fulham game the other night against Wolves. They've beat Sheffield United, Luton, Everton, and now Wolves.
Yeah, massive.
It is.
Massive.
Yeah, well, I will say Wolves have been absolutely shit on this season, haven't they?
But that aside, that is what it's about, though, because if you can beat the teams that are going to be vying for the same sort of spot as you,
it keeps
them down there. Yep. It keeps them down there, and that is exactly what you want to do. But I guarantee you, going back to your question quickly, Tom, that if you asked any Leicester fan right now which season they're preferring more, last season getting pumped every week and getting relegated, having won the Premier League or this season winning week in, week out, playing lovely style of football, ball, playing out from the back, bossing stuff, every away game, you know you're going to win. It sets your Saturday night up. Guaranteed they'll say this season has been a better season for them.
I want to know, who's at fault? Is it the Sheffield United fans or the Galaxy fans for creating the worst song in football history?
Absolutely brutal.
I enjoyed watching your career, Billy, but this Billy Sharp, that is wild.
If it was thousands of kids doing it, then yeah, fair play, bless them. It didn't really get going. I heard it. I've seen a few signs. Again, I think that's just the American way. We was 3-0 down. Well, we was 3-0 down quite a few times, but 3-0 down at half time one game, and we go off and there's fan cam and all our fans are big smiles and doing all this. And I'm going off and we're all going off going, what is this? Like, what are we playing at today? And in England, you are getting booed off, dogs abuse.
Oh, yeah.
Things thrown at you. And I was like, wow, this is strange, this is weird. There was another game against San Jose, and we had to go over like a bridge which was in the concourse. But I'm thinking, that can't happen in England. There's beers, there's pies, there's hot dogs, everything.
Yes.
There's trying to get to you. And this was supposed to be like a rival game. And yeah, all the fans are waving. It's great. It's a great environment, good atmosphere. And
yeah.
Like I say, the way of living, and I really enjoyed playing in the MLS. So I haven't got anything bad to say about the fans because they were brilliant with me. Got right behind me from the first kick of the ball, and obviously helped. I scored goals, and just didn't quite get the song going right, but I let them off.
Billy, this has been fantastic, mate, honestly. And we're coming to the end now, but this has been, honestly, mate, really, really enjoyed it, and thank you for making the effort. I got a few stats for you. In your career, in your long career, over 700 competitive games, by the way, that's some going. Do you know which team you've scored the most goals against?
Most goals? I did, yeah. Derby or Blackpool, is it?
Blackpool, well done.
Yeah.
Second on the list is Bristol City.
Okay.
9 goals, by the way, 10 against Blackpool, 9 against Bristol City, and then 9 against Derby. It's not bad, yeah, that, is it, mate?
I remember the Bristol City ones now, though. 21st birthday, I got my 21st goal against them, 1-0 on Sky, Friday night, for Scunthorpe. And we was battling it out with them. We was top, they were second, and we pipped them to get promoted that year. 21st birthday.
Seems a long way away, that does,
it
doesn't
it? It is a long, long way away.
How many of those little Man of the Match trophies have you got, by the way?
I don't know. Stats like this, if my dad was sat here now, he'd have said straight away, Blackpool.
10 goals.
He'd have done Blackpool with 10 goals, Bristol City, Derby. And he'd have told me, he's got all my Man of the Matches. It's great. My kids go around there and they're always polished up. Kids are holding them and stuff. And they've changed over the years. They're a lot better these days. Used to like the old Powerade one. It was like heavy and felt
silver.
Good.
It was like a silver Powerade bottle, weren't it? Yeah.
For Player of the Month, you got a gold one. And stuff like that. Yeah. But no, collected a few things over the years, and my dad's got them all clean. Because I'm sure if I had them, it'd all have dust on them.
It'd be in the attic, or
wouldn't even be out. Yeah.
I've got one for you about derbies, right? So let's say Wolves, West Brom, Sheffield Wednesday. The fans are split and some people want them to just inflict the biggest load of misery on their rivals. Like, yeah. I've heard people saying like, oh no, I want them to be out of business kind of thing. I love it when they're in the same league. As players, is that the big game? Chef Wednesday, yeah?
Of course. And over the years, as I've got older, I got brought up, I grew up hating Sheffield Wednesday. I wanted them as far down as possible. But I'm from Sheffield. I know they don't like me, but I think, you know, most of them respect what I've done in football, and I respect them as a football club. It's a good football club.
That tasted horrible coming out of your mouth, didn't it?
I'm not going to say
it. Say it
it's a good football club. You know, they get a huge following as well. I've got a lot of friends who are Wednesday fans and family as well. So, but I'm a Blade, and that's just the way it is. Sheffield's divided, red and blue, and but like I say, I have grown up more mature. I've got respect for them as a club, as a team, and they're struggling as well. Which, for me, I'd rather have them both in the Premier League, playing against each other, and whoever wins on the day gets the bragging rights. Because there's a lot of households, which I'm sure in a lot of other cities it's split, and it's quite funny that they're struggling as well, because it's taking the edge off Sheffield United.
Yeah. They can't go giving the Blades any counters, can they? Yeah.
Yeah.
And finally then, life after football, what do you want to do? What is Billy Sharp going to be doing in a couple, 3 years time when he retires from actually playing the game?
I want to be a manager.
Do you? Yeah. Are you mad?
Nah,
honestly.
I want to be a manager, yeah. I've got all my coaching badges, and I'm going to, I've applied for the LMA manager's course, spoke to Big Sam. He said, yeah, that's probably a good thing to do. And I've got friends who have done it as well. Neil Collins, he's manager of Barnsley now, and Steady, another friend who's his assistant. And I don't know, I fancy it. And I've got the hunger to do that. But while I'm still hungry to play, that's my short-term goal. And in the long run, I want to be a manager, and I'm going to give that a good crack.
What sort of manager are you going to be? Ranto or Ravo? Nice and calm, Arsene Wenger type?
Were you ever there with Neil Warnock?
Yeah. I was coming through as a kid with Neil Warnock. He sold me to Scunthorpe for $100,000.
Did you experience those dressing rooms?
I experienced him bringing Wayne Allison on when he'd not even warmed up, instead of me as a young kid running up and down.
Wayne Allison. Well,
Chief. Yeah, the Chief. He used to ring him on for 30 seconds, and people know why. But I want to give the managerial a crack, and people have said, are you mad, are you crazy? But people have also said it's the closest thing to being a player, you know, that going into the dressing room, going out onto the pitch.
The match day.
Yeah. You know, trying to win football games is something I love doing. So if I can't do it as a player, then I'd like to do it as a manager.
Billy, mate, honestly, thank you so much. We really, really appreciate it, mate. I hope you enjoyed it, everybody. Up the Fozcast.
Thanks, everybody, for watching. We hope you enjoyed the latest episode of the Fozcast. Don't forget to give us a follow on Spotify. Up the Fozcast.